Parshas B'Shalach is a parasha that talks about Kriyas Yom Tov, obviously, and then goes into the concepts of the survival inside the Midbar. And this parasha describes in great length the idea of relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu for the Mon. And we say, Koshing Panasotim Sholim Kriyas Yom Tov, it's difficult in Kriyas Yom Tov. On the other hand, we have messages in this parasha that's supposed to be the Doirei Seichem. It's not something that just survived, just applied in the Midbar, but Kodesh Baruch Hu made a tzivui that there's a place. Vayim Moshe Zadova Shesiva Hashem Maloi Ha'Oimim Mimenu Shmeres Doirei Seichem. It's supposed to be a Mishmeres for generations, hidden inside the Oren to remind us for generations that the messages and the lessons of the Mon apply. So I want to go through some very, very interesting things I saw this year and the previous year. About two distinct parashas in the Torah that talks about the idea of the Mon, but there are some very, very clear differences between how we describe the Mon. If you look in Parashas B'Shalach, we'll have a Chumash there. Parashas B'Shalach, in Perek Tezayin, the Pasuk talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will supply the Vehi Ba'erev Vatal HaSlov Vatechas HaSamachne. They had this Slov, they had this pheasant that covered the machne, hatal soviv lemachne. And in the morning, there was this layer of tal soviv lemachne, around the machne. Carries on the pasuk yedalud, v'tal shichvas hatal, and the shichvas hatal lifted. V'hine al pnei hamidbar dak mechuspas dak kakfar la'oretz. When it lifted, there was this duck, mechuspas duck, kakfar la'oretz. It looked like a kind of an icy layer on the oretz. Okay? So just two ha'oros. Or number one is, over here it says, where was the mon? It says very clearly, the mon was, soviv la'machne. Possibly Gilman says soviv la'machne, around the machne. Secondly, what it comes out is v'techas is a machne u'boika hoise shichvas atal sov machne v'tal shichvas atal v'hine al pnei min badak mechus badak v'vola. In other words, where was the shichvas atal? Where was the tal? Where was the layer of dew on top of the mon? Here it says, yeah, was on top of the mon, and when the tal lifted, you could see the mon. Correct? Avraham, do you agree with that? Yeah? Now that's parasha over here, Parashas B'Shalach. In Parashas B'Haloscha, also talks about qualities of mon, but in slightly different ways of describing it. If you look in Perek Yud Aleph Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. Skip to Pasuk Tes. Ubereda satal al hamachne loylo. Ubereda satal al hamachne loylo. Yeired hamon olov. Ubereda satal al hamachne, not soviv la machne, al hamachne, on the machne. Yeired hamon olov, which means the mon went on top of the tal. So the question obviously is two questions. What was on top of what? What was it? One says soviv lemachne, and one says in the machne. And one talks about mon being having a shichvas atal on top of the mon, and one talks about the mon being on top of shichvas atal. What's going on? Thirdly, what is this expression of dak mechuspas dak? What's that referring to? What does that mean? What is this? What is this icy collection? What's this referring to? So the Malbim, in his beautiful way of distinguishing nuances in language, comes out with a tremendous chiddush. And he says that Parshas B'Shalach and Parshas B'Haloscha are two dinim. Yeah, like a brisket. There's two dinim. There are two different times in history when each thing applied. They're not describing the same the time in history at all. There's two different times. One is talking about, Parshas B'Shalach is talking about one time, and Parshas B'Haloscha talking about another time. Parshas B'Shalach is talking about, beginning of the parasha describes, how Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them not only mon, but he gave them slov. Slov, or this fatty fowl, the fatty pheasant that they had as well. But that didn't carry on forever. at a certain stage, not clear exactly when, but at a certain stage, that didn't apply anymore, and all they had was Ammon, they were satisfied with Ammon. So he says, there was a very major difference in many, many areas between the time when they got the Ammon alone and when they got the Ammon together with a Slav. He said, Parshas Beshalach is talking about when they got the Slav together with the Ammon. And therefore, there's a big difference. Over there, firstly, when he got the Slav together with the Ammon wasn't in the Machne. The Ammon was outside the Machne. And they had to go along and had to travel outside the Machne to get hold of the Ammon. But later on, when it didn't have the Slav, all they had was the Ammon was inside the Machne, ala Machne. Number one. Number two, he said, there was another major difference, was that because the Ammon was on top of the Tal was on top of the Ammon at the time of the Slav, they weren't able to get to the Ammon. When they woke up in the morning, they were hungry, they couldn't get to it. Only the Tal, only when it lifted up, only when the Pasuk says, where do we say this? One second. Batal shichavas satal. When they lifted up the layer of tal, then they could get to the mon. And therefore, there was like this impregnable layer of tal that they couldn't get to.
Keep it cold.
That they kept it cold, but they couldn't get to it. They were hungry in the morning. They had to run outside. They couldn't get to it. Only then they could get to it. Later on, when it talks about the slav, without the slav, there was available. There was no tal on top of it. In fact, the tal was underneath it, protecting it from the ground, but it was not on top of it. They could get to it easier, number two. Number three, in one case, it was much more difficult to distinguish and determine where the mon was. When the mon was on top of it, you couldn't see it easily. Where is the mon? They had this layer, and the mon was here, there, and everywhere, and they couldn't see exactly where it was. It was difficult to determine and to find where the mon was. Later on, in Parshas Baloischa, where the mon was on top of it, it's very easy to find. And of course, the fourth difference is the a very interesting difference was, he says, Batal Shichva Satal, when the Shichva Satal lifted, means they lifted some of the tal, the best of the mon went up with it. In other words, evaporated. With the best part of the tal evaporated with it, because it was top of it, it evaporated above it, and that lifted with it. And what was left was duck kafur la'aretz, was the not good part, was like heavy, stodgy, icy part that was left. So the very best part evaporated, and the stodgy, horrible little part was left. It wasn't horrible; it was tasty, but it was a harder part that was left on the ground. Says the Malbim, why is there that those major differences? What's the difference? He says, this is limud l'doyer seichem. It's limud l'doyer seichem. There's a very big difference between a person looking for parnasa, for basic survival, for the basic needs to support himself, to support his family, and just to live a life where he could cope with the day-to-day expenses and not have to worry, for sure not have to worry, do your hishtadus and just live normally, to where somebody is living a life of luxury, chasing after moisturize, chasing after things he doesn't need just for the sake of luxury. He says in Parshas Beshalach, it was not only lechem. They wanted this fatty meat. They wanted the finer qualities in life. That comes with a price. Price number one, the price tag number one is, if you want to live a life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy to give you enough to live, you can have enough to live. Yeah, that's Parshas Baloischa, inside the Machne. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you parnasa inside the Machne. But Toich HaMachne, inside the Machne, there's enough parnasa. You don't have to travel. People who are looking for beyond, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it within the curse of business, that you have to travel to distances to make your money. They had to go outside the Machne. They had to go outside the Machne to get their parnasa. Rachmanis, you know, there's people, unfortunately, nobody's, each situation is different. But there's people, again, I'm not judging them in any way, but Rahman al-Itslan, and I'm not saying these people are looking for luxury, but just, the curse is here. There are people here, there's a minibus that goes every single Motzei Shabbos from Ramat Beit Shemesh to the airport to catch a midnight flight to America. And they come back a Thursday afternoon. Right? Rachmanis, Do people need it for survival? Very likely, yeah? But ultimately, there's people who don't need it for survival, and they've got to travel all kitzvos or oretz. That is a people who are looking for the slava, not looking just for the lechem. Number one. Number two, it's far more time-consuming. It's far more a person who was just looking for the lechem and Parshas Balo Yisrael could go at any time he wants, and it was much more convenient. He could find it and come back in time for Shachris and come back for his Seder Limud. But people who are looking for the slav, that wasn't so easy to find. They had to wait for particular times, for the time zones, and for the banks to open. And these people were much more, it was much more time consuming. It wasn't as convenient for them. Another disadvantage of the time when they're looking with the slav as well. Thirdly, and this is a tremendous chiddush, he says a Malbim, where a person is just looking for a life, to be able to live a normal life, and not looking for luxury, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him bread, begolui. It will not be difficult to find parnasa. That will be available, like you could see them on, you won't have to look too far. Parnasa will be available, you won't have to look too far. But if you're looking for a life of luxury, then what's going to happen is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it difficult for you, that it's very difficult to find. And you have this whole layer of towel over it, you don't know where your parnasa is, and you got to look for it, and you got to seek it, and you got to find it. And he said that kind of parnasa is a parnasa of koshin parnasosom shel odin kekriyas yamsuf. It's very interesting. He said a normal parnasa, living normal life within one's means and trying to support a family, that is not koshin kekriyas yamsuf. That Kosh Baruch will help you find quite easily. What is more difficult is koshin kekriyas yamsuf is a person going living beyond their means. What's that? Kazaragat. That's something else. Yeah, that's something else. Coriander. No. Yeah, that's Parshas Balo Yisrael. I just want to. The Gemara Yoma talks about it, and for some people it tastes like this, some people it tastes like that. Whether it's tzaddik, whether you're Rosh, whether you're young, whether you're old, it tastes all different things to make you happy. Yeah, it's a Gemara Yoma. And lastly, says a Malbim, if a person is living a life of luxury, like in the case of Parshas B'Shalach, then it evaporated together with the best part of the mon evaporated. You're left with the junk. You're left with the stuff that wasn't good at the bottom. A person's quality of life, the quality of panosa gets sapped away when you're looking for the luxury. If you're looking for what's necessary, looking for what's, then the very best towel remained on the ground. So therefore Parshas B'Shalach is the life of a person who is looking for a life of slav, looking for a life of luxury beyond what he needs. And there are four disadvantages. The disadvantage is distance, the disadvantage is time, the disadvantage is ability to find it, and the disadvantage is the quality of what he will have. And Parshas Balo Yisrael doesn't have any of these chesreinus. One beautiful chiluk. Okay? Rav Shamshon Fal Hish, and nobody can accuse him. Nobody can accuse him of being somebody who did not value Parnassa. Fair enough? Nobody can accuse him of somebody not valuing Parnassa. He asks, very interestingly, he says, why is it that Rabbi Yishrim tells Klal Yisrael to put it as a Mishmeres? Yeah? Mishmeres Dor Yisaychem, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Leave it as a mishmeres for generations. The man yiras alechem asher salachti eschem b'midbar, that they should see the bread that I gave it to eat in the midbar. But he'd see eschem meres Mitzrayim, and took it out of Eretz Mitzrayim. So this is a reminder of how it's possible to live on Mon. Where was this reminder? Where was it? Where in the Mishkan? Yeah, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, inside the Oroin, yeah, that was where this Mishmeres was. Wow! I mean, one should put it in a place, in a glass box, yeah, in the Ministry of Commerce, yeah, outside, that everyone can see what's going on. That's a Mishmeres. You put it inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, nobody's allowed to go inside the Kohen Gadol once a year on Yom Kippur, and that's where you put the Mishmeres.
Maybe it's Mishmeres for Hashem. Hashem's in there.
No, it says Laman Yiru Esalechem, that you should see the bread. That is for us, that we should see the bread, Asher Chelti, that I gave you to eat.
You can see it, but not going inside.
But how did you see it?
How did
you see it? What's the idea? What's the point of making the Mishmeres right next to everybody can see it? So by the way, there was a case, Yirmiyahu HaNavi took it out and he showed it. Yeah, but that was an exception. That was an exception. He took it out and showed them, but that's not a norm of leaving a mishmeres in there. What's the idea? But it was inside the oren. It was inside the oren. It was mamish deep inside. Yeah, says the Shamshon Rafal Hish. Shamshon Ben Rafal Hish, rather. Yeah, he says like this. He says that the place of this obviously was very, very carefully chosen. It's to teach us that Torah goes in Derech Eretz. The Luchos and the Mon were together. What does that mean? Luchos and Mon are together. It teaches us a dual message. The one who brought the Luchos down from Shemayim is the same one who brings Panosa down from Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you believe Torah min HaShemayim? Believe Panosa min HaShemayim. You don't have to go beyond the norms of relative hashtadlus in order to go to get panasa. You don't have to chalila do anything which is crooked or unjustified or ripping another person off or being over aggressive if you believe that Kodesh Baruch is the one who brings down panasa min hashamayim. So the Torah and the Luchos were together, the Luchos and the Mon together, that Luchos are min hashamayim, believe panasa is min hashamayim as well. But it works the other way around as well, said the Shamshon Pol Hish. He said you have to believe as well that just like Parnasa is min hashamayim, you have to understand that Torah teaches us what to do with your money. You have to know what to do with your money. You have to know and understand clearly that money is given to you for a purpose. I want to tell you two amazing stories. Two amazing stories. You may have heard these stories before, but I believe it's unbelievable. There was the Businessman of the Year award was given to a gentleman called Howard Schultz. Howard Schultz is the CEO of Starbucks Coffee, a Jew. And at his award ceremony, he said over the following story, and I have the full text at home. Somebody sent it to me from Eishel Torah. He wrote down a full text of the thing. He said that he went with a group of businessmen to Ramosan Tzvi Finkel, Zatzal, the Rashiv of Mir, went to his little house in Beis Yisrael opposite the Mir Yeshiva, and he came for a visit to Ramosan Tzvi, and they all sat down, and Ramosan Tzvi walked in, and they were shocked. They heard this big dynamic Rosh Hashiva who had thousands of Talmidim. They expected a towering image of a man with zest, with health. And he was at Rav Nosson Tzvi, as you know, was a broken in body. He had a fire, his inside was fire, but he couldn't hardly control his motion, and he had very, very, very seriously ill with Parkinson's, and he couldn't hear what he speaks. So a bit taken aback by this is the Rosh Hashiva. And while they're all sitting down, he says to them, I want to ask you, my friends, what is the lesson of the Holocaust? What's the lesson of the Holocaust? So who's going to speak first? One of the millionaires. The lesson of the Holocaust? Never again. No, that's not the thing. What do you believe in the lesson of the Holocaust? I believe the power of evil. No. Each one gave no. He said he felt a little bit, you know, like he's not so usually disagreed with. I'll tell you the lesson of the Holocaust. When they got off the train, one of every five people received a blanket. Some people took that blanket for themselves, but most of the people took that blanket and shared it with four other people. He said, God has given every single one of you an enormous blanket. Make sure you don't keep it for yourself. Make sure you share it with a lot of other people. That is a message of the Holocaust. The message of Yiddishkeit is such that you have something, the Torah tells you what to do with the money. On another occasion, Howard Schultz, I heard this from the son of Rosh Shiva, first hand. He came to Rosham Tzvi a couple of years later, and the Mir Yeshiva were going through a crisis. I remember, I wasn't paid for 6 months. We were 6 months behind in the way of Rechim. And Howard Schultz takes out a checkbook. I don't know. Yeah, and he takes out his Mont Blanc pen, whatever it was, and he says, Rosh Hashiva, however you express, I'd like to write a check that will make an incredible impact. How much should I write? A fundraiser's dream. Take it from me. Yeah? It's a fundraiser's dream. In a blank check, he's willing to write it. He says, write a check for $1,200. How much? $1,200. What? What does that mean? He said, for $1,200, I can take this check and I can buy you a pair of tefillin. Around the corner, you can buy a pair of tefillin for $1,200. That would make an incredible impact if you start wearing tefillin. Yes, Howard Schultz could start wearing tefillin. That will make an incredible impact. I'm sure he gave much more. But this is the limud. The limud is from this parasha. The mon is the Doris Seichem. The Doris Seichem is a teacher that Malbim said that there's two distinct ways of life. There's a way of life of looking to look after a family. One has a responsibility to look after a family. One has a responsibility to make sure there's panosa, there's a chiv ksuba, there's a chiv to look after a family the best one possibly can, to do hishtadlus. But on the other hand, there's a whole different world of looking beyond that. And there HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats a person in a far different way, where you lose, in any way you look at it, in distance, in time, in quality, in everything. You don't get anything by that. And of course, as Rosham Shem Fall here said, the idea of the Mishmeres is, although it can't be seen as much, the message that Torah and Panosah go together is such that as you believe Torah min HaShemayim, Panosah is min HaShemayim. Yeah, Rashiva got this chance now to sort out all the problems of the yeshiva. My obligation right now is this person can get himself a pair of tefillin. Maybe my obligation is to look after him first. Push away my thing. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me Panosah somewhere else. That is a message. That just like Panosah is min HaShemayim, the Torah is min HaShemayim, and so too, so the other way around, and so too, the idea is what to do with our money. That is also this week's parasha. Yashar Koyach.